Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980 and the radio.com app.
All right, I want you to pay attention, because if you're in the market for new windows, you've got to call Window Nation right now. They're kicking off the new year with their most popular deal. Call today. You're not going to put any money down, and you're not going to make any payments, and you're not going to pay any interest for 2 full years. Get 2 free windows also for every 2 you buy with no limit. 866-90-NATION, or go to windownation.com and tell them that I told you to call. All right, the Window Nation people are good friends of mine. They will take good care of you. If you're thinking about new windows, call them, 866-90-NATION or windownation.com. All right, 301-230-0980. There's a level, I believe, of optimism in the majority of the fan base. I've heard from many of you who have said, this is fool's gold. As long as Snyder's in the organization, give me a break. I understand that. And we'd all, for me anyway, I will subscribe to the those who ignore history are doomed to repeat it, because I would be ignoring my history, personal history, of being very optimistic multiple times during the Snyder era, only to see it not come to fruition. Only to see it not only not come to fruition, but for it to end very badly. I love Ron Rivera. I think he's the right guy. And I love the fact that their strength right now on the team is their defense. This is different than in years past. Not Marty. Marty was going to have a very good defensive team. Okay, he just needed to find a quarterback. You know, Joe, after 2005, pretty good defense. We thought we were sort of on our way there. Obviously, after the 2012 season, with the rookie of the year at quarterback, even though he's coming off a serious injury, it was really about, you know, finding maybe another playmaker and improving the defense. 2015 was really all about, okay, now we've got to improve the defense. Offensively, this is a team that has a chance to play at a high level. We've got to improve the defense. But you also had a head coach, or at least from my perspective, you had a head coach that it was kind of hard to believe in. The head coach and the talent on defense and the coaching on defense is the reason that, for now, I'm more optimistic than I've been. Like, I think there's a chance they can be a competitive team for a few years. You know, I also know that the possibility exists that it could be completely ruined. By the way, the NFL is also very fleeting, as we know, and it's very unpredictable. You know, if they come out next year and they're not a healthy team, relatively healthy team like they were this year, against a schedule that at least on paper looks very difficult. You know, they're playing the NFC South, they're playing the AFC West. They have a first-place schedule. Most of you know I'm not a big believer in fretting over a schedule, because it changes so much. You know, you end up playing a team that you thought was going to be really good that isn't, or you end up playing a team that's really good but is missing their key player. You just never really know. But with that said, they play the entire AFC South, which includes New Orleans and Tampa. And then they play Seattle and Green Bay as the other division champions, like Washington is in the NFC. And then they have to play the Chiefs and the AFC West. And if it's a 17-game schedule, they're going to play Buffalo also. So that's the schedule in addition to the NFC East home and aways. You know, that may be, you know, at least going in, the perception will be that the soft part of the schedule will be the division portion of the schedule. But you never know on that either. All right, 301-230-0980. Was this the season that is the beginning of a run, or is this going to be typical Washington? You get excited off of a playoff season, even a playoff season at 7-9, but a lot to be optimistic about, but it won't turn out to be anything. 301-230-0980. Let's start with Perry. Perry, go ahead. Perry, are you there?
Hello?
You're
Hello?
On, Perry.
Can you hear me?
I got you.
I'm Perry, T-E-R-R-Y. That's why the thing was. You briefly touched on why I was calling. You've got to be realistic, and it's nothing to do with the future. I believe the cornerstones are laid, and I feel confident about that. But as far as winning, you pay a price for winning the division this year, and part of it you just touched on. Buffalo will not, the other three teams will not play. Green Bay, the other three teams will not play in Seattle. I would rather play Seattle than the Rams next. And it's like you said, I agree with that. You never know how that's going to turn out. This year, I thought that at Dallas, at Pittsburgh, and at San Francisco would doom them, and it actually won them the division championship. They went 3-0 in all those games. Right. So you never know how it's going to line out. But I'm just saying, you, as far as winning the division next year, that's tough for anybody. And I realize the other three teams also play everybody, but the Buffalo game, the Seattle game, and the Green Bay game,
right,
those are going to be tough. And so I just wanted to touch on that. So that's all I wanted to say. No. Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, appreciate it. It is interesting, right? I mean, you looked at the schedule this year, and you would have said, okay, the tough games in the division are going to be the Cowboys and the Eagles games, and you won all four of those, and the easy game in the division might be the Giants, and you lost both of those. You probably looked at the schedule and said, well, that stretch of at Dallas, at Pittsburgh, at 49ers, Seattle at home is going to be brutal, and you won three of those four. And yet, the stretch of the Giants, Lions, and Bengals, you only won one of those. It really is, that game is such a difficult game to play. And if you've bet football before, you understand why. It just doesn't typically play out the way you think it's going to play out. Now, the difference is, if Aaron Rodgers is in Green Bay and Josh Allen is in Buffalo and Patrick Mahomes is in Kansas City and Russell Wilson's in Seattle and Tom Brady's in Tampa, you've got the best quarterbacks on your schedule next year. That's a bit of a problem. That's a bit of a problem. Again, maybe you get to those games and those quarterbacks are injured and out. That's always possible. But think about the schedule next year includes Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady, Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers. Who am I forgetting? Who did I just mention? I think Josh Allen, if they play a 17th game. Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes. By the way, Justin Herbert. I forgot about him. Tom Brady. Who knows about the Saints and whether Breeze will be there. Russell Wilson. Yeah, that's an Aaron Rodgers. That's a first-place schedule on paper. It seems daunting now, but who knows what it'll look like by the time you get there. Let's go to Rashad. Rashad, thanks for holding. Go ahead. Rashad. Hello, Rashad. Where do you want to go, Anthony?
We can go to Anthony.
Let's go to Anthony. Anthony, go ahead.
Hey, what's going on, Kev?
Hey, Anthony, what's up?
All right. To your point, this is why it's going to be different. I think we got a guy in Ron Rivera that has set the table. He knows what he wants. He's not, no nonsense. He's basically put out there that we're a defensive table. We know who we are. You know, we know what where our bread is buttered and everything. Unlike 01, where Dan Snyder, you know, was like, you know, a megalomaniac or whatever and stuff. He's still a megalomaniac, but only difference is after losing the name and everything, he's under like a microscope right now. So he's kind of isolated in his own misgivings. So I believe this is different now. And I think, you know, you mentioned the schedule, that first place schedule and everybody talking about and stuff. That's the only thing that's going to really matter, because you never thought about it. Maybe they have to watch out for us next year. You ever thought about that?
No. I actually haven't thought about that, to be totally honest with you. They were 7-9 teams. So.
I get that, but, you know, that's wussy talk. They got to watch out for us, because we could be that team that, like, you know, that comes up. Yep, sir. That's how the Cowboys think.
I'd like to talk that's big talk. And talk tough. But I also know that there were limitations, and there were limitations this year. Look, here's the bottom line. Okay, let's act like this is a perfect world and there's a normal owner. You would say number one, Ron Rivera, they got the right guy. Okay. Number two, they've got defensive talent. This was a good defense, not an elite defense. It was a good defense getting better. And if they add a couple of pieces, it could be a dominant defense. But number three is, who's the quarterback? Because we've seen in recent years some really well-coached teams with really good defenses win 6 or 7 games. Denver's the perfect example in recent years. Houston, for a few years before they got Deshaun Watson, the Bill O'Brien team, J.J. Watt, were really good defensively, but they could only win 9 games.
Kevin, can I take you back a little bit? Can I take you back a little bit? All right. You remember when Pittsburgh, when they had Tommy Maddox as the quarterback?
I do.
Okay, you remember how that team was like, you know, basically similar to our team as far as the defense talent, not as, you know, probably elite-wise and stuff, but very similar. And Tommy Maddox could get you, but so far. And then they drafted Big Ben. And Big Ben, all they asked Big Ben to do is just don't break the car. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And that's basically what we need to do. We're right there. That's all we got to do. So,
you know, Ben, you do know, Ben, even though in his rookie year he wasn't great and they won the Super Bowl, you do know they ended up drafting a Hall of Famer.
That's my point. We don't know. So that's what I'm saying. It's all about the attitude. Don't have this wussy type. I understand that we've been damaged over the years, but you got to kind of get a little more of a backbone about this situation.
You don't know me well enough, but maybe we'll get together one day and we can talk about who the wussy is.
Okay.
Thanks for the call, Anthony. Appreciate it. What do you think? Is your optimism level different this time? All right. What are you thinking that this time is different versus what it's been in the past, which is we're optimistic, they were in the playoffs, and wow, we got a future here. Let's go get it. I'm not going to definitively say this is different because it would just be repeating history, and I'm not going to ignore history. I know how I felt before, and I've been very bullish before after certain seasons. What I am bullish about is Ron Rivera and a young defense that has a chance to be very good. And I think that you build to have a great defense gives you a chance. But what's really missing? The quarterback answer, we don't know what it is. We don't know for sure it's Taylor Heinicke. And what's still there that could get in the way? The owner. But I feel very good about Rivera. I feel very good about the defense. And I am excited to see what they can become. And I also think it's very important that next year is another step forward year, meaning you win more than 7 games, you win 9 or 10 games, and you're back in the playoffs. That's the kind of thing that keeps and hopefully will keep the owner away and the owner from being hands-off. Stay on hold. More of your calls on this next, 301-230-0980. Kevin Sheehan Show, Team 980, also the team980.com and the radio.com app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980 and the Radio.com app.
Let's get a call or two in here real quickly, then we're going to get J.P. Finley on the show. Is this time different? You know, we're optimistic. They played a playoff game. They had a chance to win a playoff game. They only won seven games, but still five of their final seven. Rivera's different. The defense is different. You know, somebody tweeted me, his name is Speck on Twitter, said, don't you think that you should apologize to Bruce Allen? He gets a lot of credit for this. No. Ron Rivera gets a lot of the credit for this, a ton of credit. The free agent signings they made in the offseason were significant contributors. And Bruce Allen would have, they would not have had the kind of coach or coaching staff that would have allowed something like this to happen at 1-5. If Bruce Allen were here at 1-5, the thing would have tanked because the people that he would have had in underneath him wouldn't have been capable of keeping a team inspired and keeping a team competitive. Bobby, go ahead.
Hey, Kevin, good morning. I hope so, man. You know, playing in January and the playoffs is sure a whole lot of fun, man, when you got a confident team out there. But you know, it's a rebuild usually takes 2 to 3 years. We made a 4-game improvement from last year to this year, which is huge. So if we jump another 3 or 4 games next year, you know, we're up around 10 or 11 wins. But, you know, the team is sprinkled with some young talent. We all agree we need a quarterback. We've got to get a veteran quarterback, Kevin. That's the way I want to go with this thing. Get one or two linebackers, a cornerback, and definitely about 2 more wide receivers, you know. And that's, it's just going to take time, but definitely a fun year. But I am cautiously optimistic going forward. If you know who will stay out of things and let the football people run this thing the way it should be.
Yeah, they've got good football people, and they're going to probably add some football people here in the offseason, Bobby, as well. And that I appreciate the call, as always. And that takes me to J.P. Finley, who we have. Right, we've got J.P. on the phone right now. Anthony?
Yes, sir.
All right, J.P. Finley from NBC Sports Washington. Up early because he's got young kids in the house, and they're going to school, which is awesome. I do want to start with that. You know, I know you've tweeted out, you've written a couple of stories, and some of the guys at NBC Sports Washington have written a couple of stories. What are they going to do about general manager? Where are they right now?
I reported yesterday that they've requested to interview Ryan Cowden from the Tennessee Titans. He's their VP of player personnel. And then there were other reports yesterday that they've requested an interview with Martin Mayhew, who, you know, you remember he played here many years ago. I believe he won a Super Bowl here. He's a personnel executive with the Niners. He was with the Lions prior to that. I won't be shocked if other – If there's a couple other interviews we end up hearing about. But, you know, I think one of those two guys, I think this is going to move faster than a lot of folks think. I think Ron probably has a pretty good idea of what he wants to do. If you look at Cowden's track record, he was with the Panthers for, I want to say, 16 years and before he got the promotion and moved to Tennessee. And there's been a lot of really good drafts and teams between Carolina and Tennessee in the last 20 years. And, you know, Ron, there were, over the course of the season, reports came out that Ron's looking for a GM just with more experience than what Kyle Smith has. Kyle Smith's been with one organization his whole career. He's worked his way up, and I don't think anybody, you know, I don't think there's any – he has a really good reputation for finding talent, but, I mean, I think he's only 36. I think he's, like, younger than Alex Smith, and so it's just kind of a unique spot to have your de facto personnel boss be so young and only have worked within one organization. I think they're going to hire somebody from the outside, and I think they're going to do it soon. I'd say certainly before the Super Bowl, and maybe even like if this all happened by the end of next week, I wouldn't be surprised. There's, you know, there's Rooney Rule stipulations that they have to comply with, but I don't even think that'll be – I mean, the Martin Mayhew interview I think is very real, and I think that will, you know, comply with all the rules, but I don't think that interview is happening just to comply with the rules. He's a really well-qualified person.
So it's an outside hire, but it's for Ron Rivera. It's a very well-known Ryan Cowden, who's the vice president of player personnel in Tennessee. And this has been, right now, his track record. He wants people he's familiar with, that he knows. Really, in many ways, Jack Del Rio is the one sort of outlier in terms of bringing in a guy that he hadn't worked with really in the past.
Yeah, and I mean, keeping Nate Katzer also, you
sure.
know, that's a coordinator.
And Randy Jordan. Position.
Yeah, Randy is running backs coach. And people, I it's an interesting time for this because people are like, oh, man, why are we trying to recreate Carolina? If you're Ron, he is trying to recreate that because he really liked what he built there and the results were pretty strong. I mean, they made the playoffs a number of years. They had the Super Bowl appearance. And Ron's in charge, and I think that's one thing that people are confusing is that because he's hiring a GM, like, is this new GM going to be in charge? The answer is no. The one kind of coaching staff Ron always points to is Andy Reid with the Chiefs. And if you look at what happened in Kansas City, Andy Reid kind of fired John Dorsey and then hired his own GM.
Right.
And I'm not to say that anybody's getting fired, but Ron tried it with Kyle for a year. I don't think it went the way either person kind of wanted or expected, and Ron's going to bring his own person in now. And there's nothing wrong with that. Kyle Smith has a really good track record, but I don't think that he's proven to be Branch Rickey or something. You know, there's not that long history of making these great moves, and I think the free agent moves – McKissick and Logan Thomas specifically, Ron has been very quick and forced and deliberate to point out that tight ends coach Pete Hayner was the guy that was all over Logan Thomas and really thought he could develop. And I know, you know, from my reporting that Scott Turner was all over J.D. McKissick as an option for them. So that's not to discount any of the work that's been done in free agency or the draft or anywhere else. But, I think sometimes
so what happens
go a
with Kyle
direction.
Smith? Is it possible that Kyle Smith remains a part of the operation with Cowden if that's the hire, or is he out?
I don't know that, Kev. I really don't. I think Kyle would get another job in a second around town, not around the league. I don't know if you noticed this, but when Washington was playing the Niners – probably early December, I'm guessing. You know, every week the DC media gets a conference call with the opposing coach, and Kyle Shanahan got asked about the job Ron was doing, and Shanahan was really complimentary about Ron Rivera, and
right.
And Shanahan unsolicited brought up Kyle Smith too and the job he's done, I think Kyle Smith would get a job in a second, whether that's another VP of personnel or director of scouting or assistant GM, something like that. There would be another job for Kyle Smith. But some of that is contractual. I don't know what Kyle's contract is like. I mean, if he's under contract here in D.C. for two more years and somebody else gets hired, you know, I don't know that they're just going to release him from the contract. I don't know. To my knowledge, there have been no requests to interview Kyle for another GM job, which, you know, if another team calls Washington to ask him for a GM interview, Washington has to grant it.
Right.
That's the same reason Tennessee. Right. For a move up, you got to let the guy go. But to my knowledge, as of this morning, that hasn't happened.
Yeah, Martin Mayhew, I mean, we're all familiar with Martin Mayhew. He was part of the 91 Super Bowl team, and he was a GM in Detroit for a while. Where is Martin Mayhew right now? Is he in San Francisco still?
Niners, yep.
Yeah, okay. And, you know, I remember a couple of years ago going through his draft record when he was the GM in Detroit. It's not great, but he's a really smart dude. I always thought he was a possibility. And certainly I thought, you know, another Martin, Marty Herney, who was down in Carolina for a while and is no longer employed by the Panthers, I thought he would be a possibility as well. But I think one of the things that you spelled out here is intuitive, because it's the way sort of Ron's run this thing since he's gotten in. This is coach-centric. This is an Andy Reid model. It, you know, they hire a general manager. The general manager is going to obviously have significant responsibilities, but he's going to report to Ron, right?
Oh, yeah. Now, what technically gets spelled out, I don't know, but Ron is the boss. And I do think it'll be a collaborative approach where I think Ron's going to bring somebody in that he wants to probably kind of outsource a lot of the stuff he's had to do, certainly this season. And the GM will take care of that stuff. But if there's ever a debate, if they get to the 19th pick and it's, hey, we want player A or player B, ultimately Ron can make the call on player A. And I think everybody understands that. The other thing that I think is important here, and I wrote this in my story yesterday, if they do go with Cowden, and I don't know that they will, but it would make a lot of sense, he's also going to be really familiar with Rob Rogers. And, right. And Rob Rogers is running.
Oh, yeah.
Not the business side. He's not selling sponsorships or any of that, but the business of football, the salary cap, dealing with all the agents, practice squad, trying to kind of look long term. I mean, because think about the strength of that team is that defensive line. They're going to have some decisions to make there.
Yep.
Offensive line, like, if you're going to make a big move at quarterback, how do you pay Brandon Scherff? All of that kind of stuff. Cowden worked with Rogers for years in Carolina, so they're obviously going to have a good understanding of one another's kind of likes and dislikes, and I think that's a big part of this too.
Yeah, by the way, I don't want to lose this thought real quickly while I have it, and that is, let's just say if they do make a big move for quarterback, and let's just say it's Matt Stafford, he would immediately be signed to a new deal, an extended deal, where they could spread that thing out and make it salary cap friendly over the next few years while the cap, you know, as we know, is going to go down this year. I think that would be less of an issue. But back to your Rob Rogers, you know, for those that don't know, Rob Rogers was brought in to be the senior vice president of football administration, which was a position he held in Carolina. And he has really, for Ron Rivera, become a right hand for Ron Rivera. I mean, he was an instrumental hire, and he will stay in that role, and then the GM would be more in charge of the personnel with Rob Rogers handling, you know, the salary cap and contracts, which is something that Ron Rivera has never had experience with. And why should he? He shouldn't get involved in those things. So, you know, just in thinking about the org chart, you know, Jason writes on the business side of the operation, the football side, Ron Rivera would be one, and then there would be two branches off of Ron Rivera. There would be Rob Rogers, and there would be the VP of player personnel slash GM. You know, let's just say if they do hire a guy like Ryan Cowden. And that would be the way it would work. And then everybody would branch off of those guys, scouts, etc. Rob Rogers has been a very important guy, from my understanding, for Ron Rivera. You agree with that, right?
Yeah, for sure. And that org chart sounds right to me. You know, Ryan Vermilion has been a really important part of all this, too. That's the new head trainer.
Sure.
And then, the coaches. But think, just Ron brought almost all of his coaches from Carolina. He brought RV, as he calls him, Vermilion, brought Rob Rogers. I don't think it should be a surprise if they make a move to get Cowden and kind of cement in what they're trying to do.
I think, look, I did not even know the name Ryan Cowden before you tweeted it out yesterday. But to me, and I said this the other day, it's going to be somebody that he's very familiar with. That's been the move here, you know, since he got here. I don't have a problem with it at all, by the way.
And I think people shouldn't. I find some of the reaction, and granted, it's Twitter reaction, which is always home to some of the weirdest reactions anyway. But I don't understand the concern. I really don't.
No, I don't either. I want him to be comfortable. And by the way, I think he has a sense of people and the kind of people that will fit in to the culture that he's trying to mold here. I hope it works out for Kyle Smith, because I think Kyle Smith is a really, really sharp evaluator of talent. And, you know, if the relationship and the personality mix isn't right, I hope he finds the personality mix that is right for him. But I would love to see a role for him in the organization, if that's even possible, but who knows. All right, let's go to the actual.
I agree with you. Kyle's a really good dude, too. Great. I mean, he's just, he'll get it. I mean, on top of my head, I just think McVay or Kyle Shanahan will snap him up in a second should he become available. Maybe it's not a GM role, but it's something.
All right. What is your gut, and what did you learn from Ron Rivera's, you know, closing presser about the quarterback plan for the offseason?
It's far from settled, and I think Ron knows if he can get good, consistent quarterback play, that he's got a real team on his hands. So it leads me to believe that quarterback will be addressed this year, and I don't know if that means the draft. I don't know that it doesn't, but, they've got Heinicke and Kyle Allen are restricted free agents, so they can basically keep both of those guys for kind of next to nothing money-wise. And
so wait a minute, Heinicke is a restricted free agent?
Yeah, I had to call and get that confirmed, but he is. And over the cap, I believe, one of them has been listed as unrestricted, and I had an NFL source tell me he's a restricted free agent. Because he has the years out of the league, but he doesn't have the games accrued to get to unrestricted free agency.
So just so everybody understands, restricted means that basically Washington, you know, holds the rights, but if somebody made a big offer, they'd have to match it to keep them, right?
Well, it's a tender. So somebody would offer like a first-round tender or something.
Right. But well, they'd put a tender on them.
Right. And then somebody would have to go over the top on that. I just don't think it's going to happen, honestly. I know. I get the vibe that they don't feel that they're in danger of losing him. And I know that playoff performance was really, really impressive.
Right.
But I don't mean to discount anything. You never know what could happen, especially in a quarterback-starved league. But I fully expect Kyle Allen to be back. And I think – I don't know with Heinicke. It'll be interesting to watch that. I know the fans want him back. I got a million tweets and texts about – guys that said just let him be the starter week one. The problem is he's played in three NFL games and he's gotten hurt in three NFL games. He is a small guy, and I don't think there's much belief that he could sustain a 16-game season.
See, that's boy, you're just – I mean, stop doing that. People are very excited. They think that they've discovered the next great thing and that we don't have to pay for anybody really good. What's your position on Allen?
I don't blame them.
No, I don't either.
So much fun to watch.
I thought he was
incredible.
He was very good the other night. He was an A in a spot which was very hard to think that somebody could come in his first start playoff game against that defense with no running game and play as well as he did. He played great, but to your point, injury prone so far in his very limited opportunities in football at the professional level. On Alex Smith, how does it end here? Because my sense of it is it will. First of all, do you agree with that? And if you do, how will it end?
Man, I don't know, Kev. Alex doesn't strike me as the kind of guy that's going to walk away. Logan Thomas said that in his, end of year press conference. He's like, I don't know, but playing with Alex, he seems like a guy that's going to want to come back. And I think that puts Washington in a tough spot because this is the first year contractually. There's a real off ramp. They could clear a little space. They would take a dead money hit, but the savings would be more than that.
Right.
But do you really want to release him after everything that's happened and everything he's gone through? At some point, this is a bottom line business, and I think the way this calf injury lingered, and maybe it was more than a calf injury. I think Ron said a bone bruise. Alex hinted that it was more than just a calf injury, but he turns 37 in the spring. He missed 2 years with an injury. Then he missed another month with what we were told was a minor injury. And the most alarming thing to me about the calf that cost him, the 3 games here at the end of the year, one, players will do anything to get on the field in the playoff game. So I think he would be willing to really push whatever he could to get on the field against Tampa, and he wasn't able to do that. And two is that it didn't seem like it was getting better. It seemed like it was getting worse. And I think that should be really alarming considering everything that's happened in that lower right leg. And I'm no doctor. I don't know specifically, but 22 mil next year for a guy that you're not sure could string together 6 weeks of games with a cap going down, you're probably losing 10-11% of your salary cap. You got to pay Brandon Scherff. Eventually, you got to figure something out on the D line with Payne and Allen. What you're going to do there? It's kind of the tough business side of football. But I don't think it makes sense anymore to keep Alex. Now maybe he'll take a big pay cut. But anybody that says restructure, that's just a fancy term for taking a pay cut. And I've had a player told me this a while ago. Anytime they come to you to ask you to restructure, they're telling you they're going to cut you unless you're going to take a pay cut. So, like, players know what that really means. And maybe because of just the tremendously unique circumstances surrounding Alex and everything that's happened in the last 3 years, he'll be open to that. I don't know that he will or won't. I don't know that I would if I was him, because if they cut you, you're going to get more money than if you agree to a pay cut. There was a time after the Steelers game, probably he was the starter for 2021, but then this calf injury popped up and it was kind of a reality check of where things are with that lower right leg.
Well, it's very hard to predict with him because, I can only speak for myself. I've been dead wrong every single time I've tried to predict Alex Smith's future after watching documentaries and him playing games like the Rams.
I think you and I had a wager to that effect.
Oh, we did. Yeah, but that was at the beginning of the year.
Sure.
You did say that you thought that Alex Smith would start a football game this year, and you were right. And we are going to settle up on bet in a very fun way. Once we can all go out with and enjoy a night out without having to worry about distancing.
I just thought. Even Ron said it. Did you hear that when Ron said, even back in August, I kind of thought we were going to end up playing him. When watching him in August, and this is not hindsight here because I said it then. Like, you could see. Now, he was super rusty at training camp and everything, but he had a more intuitive feel for the offense than Haskins or even Allen. Allen knew the offense better, but Alex was running things smoother when he finally started getting the work.
And yet on final cutdown day in early September, it was a real debate, and it was Alex who convinced Ron to keep him on the active roster.
Right, and that's another thing that makes me think maybe the romanticism or the nostalgia or the emotional component in all of this of not wanting to release Alex maybe won't be as hard for Ron because he was willing to cut him last year, let alone another year down the road.
And there's also just, I do think it was a very telling comment from last week or the week before when he said, and he was asked, and it's funny because I think the last time or one of the times you were on the show, and I forget, maybe we talked about it off the air, but we discussed whether or not we thought the results would have been the same with Kyle Allen. My answer was definitively yes. I really thought that, you know, Kyle Allen, if he had stayed healthy, that they would have had similar results in terms of having a chance to win the games that they won. Ron Rivera said the same. So Kyle Allen is not 2 years removed from nearly dying or having a leg amputated or 37 years old. So Kyle Allen's going to be on this roster and is going to be competing with somebody unless they go the veteran path for the starting job in 2021. That's my belief. Is it yours?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, they have control because he's a restricted free agent. He will cost them, I mean, a tenth of what Alex would cost.
But beyond that, they like him.
Oh, yeah. To me, Scott Turner and Ron Rivera kind of have a type. They like these gutsy, mobile quarterbacks that kind of scramble around and try to make plays when there's not a play to be made. And that's why I don't know that Stafford
– right.
is their guy. I don't know that Matt Ryan is their – now, a lot of it will – if those guys get released and they're a free agent or if they're available by trade and it's affordable, you know, things could change dramatically. But I think they like mobile passers, and Alex does not have that anymore, certainly.
Yeah, I think when it comes to Alex Smith, I think the organization really has been incredibly good to him. And I think that he would understand, because he's incredibly bright, high intellect, that the organization doesn't owe him anything anymore. You know, and this is a business, and you're in a cap situation where you're going to lose money this year on the cap because of the pandemic and the decrease in overall revenue that the league has suffered, and you get a savings by releasing him. By the way, also the emotional part of this, I just can't imagine that any fan or any teammate or any staff member or even Alex would have a problem with it. I think everybody would understand it.
I agree. I really do. And I also, I mean, the one thing we haven't discussed, Kev, is that I wouldn't rule out that he decides to walk away.
Well, that's what I've said. But
I mean,
I think after the calf injury and everything they went through this year and the fact that he legitimately couldn't protect himself the last couple of times he was on the field, which put him, you know, at risk, I think he's going to retire. But I thought you said earlier in the conversation that Logan Thomas and others, like, they're not so sure.
Right, and totally. I mean, that's what Logan Thomas said. I'm just saying, as an observer, I don't think you can rule that out. And the biggest thing for me is you think about everything he overcame to get back on the field. But along the way, he talked about, I remember maybe this was the end of locker cleanout 2019. And he said, you know, like one of his big goals is just to be able to get out and run around and chase his kids again. And right. He talked about just like lifestyle, you know, goals that he can walk around with his wife and just be a dad. And as much as I think the calf injury was a reality check for the football team about his long-term prospects, like maybe it was a reality check for him too. And okay, I played 5-6 games. I got this injury. I couldn't keep going. Maybe I want to be able to play golf and flag football with my sons and shoot hoops. And if I keep pushing this, I'm going to put more risk. I don't know. I mean, he's made a ton of money. He was the number one overall pick back before they had the rookie slots, when those rookie contracts were through the roof. He signed a few different big old contract extensions. I believe the family has a really nice home in Hawaii. If he decides to hang it up, nobody on earth is going to begrudge him for it.
Look, he's made $95 million or something like that here when all is said and done. You know, because that the original deal, correct me if I'm wrong, I think $70 million of it was guaranteed. So, you know, I know we're spending so much time on the quarterback here with JP, and we've got plenty of time in future, you know, discussions to talk about, you know, the rest of the roster and free agency in the draft. But net it out for me right now, your gut. What do they do here in the offseason to address quarterback? Who are the quarterbacks on the roster when we get to August?
I think – so I don't know if you saw this, but McShay had his first mock draft, or at least the first mock draft I saw.
Who did he mock? Mac Jones?
Trey Lance, the North Dakota 19. State. And, I mean, Lance is certainly a mobile guy. He was a very accurate passer in 2019 in college, just didn't play this year, had the one game. I know people are really intrigued by him, but if you have Trey Lance, you've got to have Kyle Allen. And you've got to have a real open competition. And if Alex is gone and they rolled out Lance, Heinicke, and Allen, I wouldn't be surprised. And I don't think fans would be upset by that. My only concern is you go all young guys, how good is this defense and how long are they going to be good for? And do you deserve to give a real run at something? Now, whether that – I don't know. I think they need to add linebacker help. They could use some more corners. I think they need to add another receiver. Like, they're not as much fun as this year was in the late season run, and the defense had some pretty gaudy statistics at the end of the year. And that defense got chewed up by the Bucs. So yeah. I don't know that they are a year away from contending for the NFC, but I think maybe they're 2 years away if everything goes right. And, you know, You need a quarterback for it to all work.
You just have to be right about the quarterback.
Yep.
Yep. Thank you, as always. At JP Finley, NBCS, Redskin Talk Podcast, everything on NBC Sports Washington. Everybody knows where you are. I'll talk to you later. Thanks.
Thanks, Kev. Take care, man.
JP Finley, everybody. Tarik El-Bashir from The Athletic will join us. Hockey season starts tonight. The Caps open up tomorrow night. But this is a real challenge for the NHL to pull this off. They are going to lose billions, certainly in the hundreds of millions of dollars. It's going to be very interesting to see if they can pull off a full season without fans. Tarik El-Bashir from The Athletic next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.